I'm Diane Orson with WNPR News. We're bringing you stories that are part of WNPR's Opioid Crisis Reporting Initiative. Today, conversation with WNPR education reporter David DeRoche. He's been traveling around the state of Connecticut talking with students, parents, and teachers about how heroin and prescription drug abuse is affecting teens and families, and also how schools and educators are dealing with it. He came into the studio to talk about it. Good morning, David.
Morning, Diane.
So what did you find?
Well, the situation in Connecticut is really different depending on where you are. Schools along the I-95 corridor tend to experience a bit more problems with heroin and prescription drug abuse. In fact, a statewide survey recently found that while heroin use among teenagers has actually declined a little bit, prescription drug use is actually on the rise. But in some places along the I-95 corridor, heroin use is also on the rise.
And is it higher along 95 because it's a pass-through up to northern New England?
Well, certainly, because that's known for being a drug trafficking corridor, and it's just simply easier for traffickers to sell their product closer to the interstate.
So who did you talk to?
Well, I did talk to a lot of students. As you can imagine, it's a pretty sensitive topic, so most of them were hesitant to share their stories. But one young lady I talked to told me she wanted to tell her story because she just wanted to help others. Her name is Angie. She's a senior in high school. She grew up surrounded by drugs, but she somehow actually managed to escape addiction herself. She told me about her father being deported for selling drugs, and her mom's boyfriend was a heroin addict.
My mom would sometimes find like empty bags in the house or cut up Dunkin' Donuts straws. It's a matter of protecting myself. I don't want to be around dangerous things, especially now. It's scary.
How old is she, and is she still living with her mother?
She's 17, and she actually moved out, earlier this year. She's now living with her friend's parents. I reached out to her mom to, you know, talk to her about this, and I haven't heard anything back. What really struck me about Angie is that she really loves her mom, and she doesn't blame her mom or her mom's boyfriend for the problems that heroin caused. But she does admit that there was a time that she was furious with her mom.
I don't hate her anymore. It's just like that feeling, that anger when it was all happening. And I also hated her boyfriend. I hated him more than anything. I even got arrested because I sent him death threats. Like, I was furious with this guy because he was tearing my mother and I apart. And I want to say that I don't hate him either. It's a matter of forgiveness. It's like I start to realize that it's not him that's causing it. It's the drugs. It's the fact that he started doing drugs, and that it's not him that I hate. It's the way that drugs changed him.
I met her at a SAD meeting at her school, which stands for Students Against Destructive Decisions. She's a member of that group. The counselor of the group introduced me to some of the students, and Angie was part of the team. What SAD does is they're basically a group of high school students who try to guide their peers and help them make smart decisions. They'll bring in speakers like drug addicts who have come clean, or felons, or a lot of famous people who have experience with addiction to try to educate teenagers about drug abuse.
If more kids appear to be gaining access to prescription drugs or heroin, what's being done in the schools about that?
Each community is really approaching the problem differently. What's interesting is the perception of the problem. So when I spoke to a lot of students in urban school districts, they tell me that, you know, pills and heroin have always been around, and it's only becoming an issue because it's affecting the affluent communities, which are mostly white communities. And then there's also the argument that in the affluent communities, the pressures to succeed are pretty high, and that can translate into a desire to seek out drugs to escape some of that pressure. I spoke with Kristen Granitek about this. She's with the Governor's Prevention Partnership. They're also the statewide coordinator for all the SAD programs in Connecticut. She says that education programs are not trying to scare kids anymore like they used to. Instead, they're relying on kids to teach each other.
You have to arm kids with information. You have to have kids who are supporting one another and talking to each other and having parents who are talking to their kids and having those conversations early on and keeping that door open. And that you also then have to have other adults in their lives supporting those kids. And it's all focused around kids making healthy decisions. So it's not just to say, don't do it. It's to think about what the impact is on your life.
This is kind of a trend now in education programs. The drug landscape is much more complex than it was in the past. The number and availability of prescription opioids out there has increased dramatically over the last 30 years. And also with social media, the internet, tougher demands at school, I mean, the bottom line is that teenagers are just actually best suited to teach each other about drug abuse.
David DeRoche, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Diane.